Joining us now, a very familiar name, I suspect, to our listeners, Walter Isaacson, author of Steve Jobs, a biography. Walter, good morning to you.
Hey, John. It's great to be with you.
It's great to talk to you. We wanted to speak with you on this day, 10 years to the day that the iPod was released, which, you know, began as a kind of a cute little device, certainly well designed, but it has subsequently changed entirely the way we view and listen to music in every way. Because in some sense, on your book tour, Walter Isaacson, you've been sort of encountering the zeitgeist and the culture and just seeing firsthand how much has changed because of what Steve Jobs did. First of all, speak a little bit to this anniversary of the iPod's release and how much has changed for music by people all over the world.
You know, Steve Jobs was able to transform whole industries by putting inventive things together, and the iPod is the best possible example. 10 years ago, suddenly white earbuds sprouted around the world. That was just the aesthetic expression of it. What it did more deeply was it took a music industry in which we consumed albums and we bought them in stores, and we were going through a period where everything was being Napsterized. In other words, people were sharing and getting their music free, just downloading it and pirating on the internet. Suddenly, you began to buy songs, and the iPod, along with the iTunes and iTunes Store software, because Steve always integrated hardware and software, just changed the way we consumed music, allowed us to buy songs, you know, put 1,000 songs in your pocket, keep your music on the go, and it became part of a digital lifestyle, so that no longer was the music a collection you had at home in a cabinet, but your music was part of your digital lifestyle.
Well, it was a fashion statement. You could wear it as a fashion accessory rather than keep it in those big boxes back at home.
And you know, in the little box that you bought your iPod, he took out a patent just on the packaging, where it was in his own name, because he obsessed over how you would open the box and see this jewel cradled right there in the box, and it would be gleaming white like the whiteness of the whale in Moby Dick, and you would have this sinuous earbuds. People had made portable music players for a few years before that, but all of a sudden it was an object of desire.
Walter Isaacson is the author of Steve Jobs, a biography. And, you know, what you just mentioned spoke to, I was looking at a lot of the reaction to some of the media appearances that you've had where people, you know, listen to what you say and maybe respond to your book. A lot of the themes of responses are a lot of people, as you might expect online, who are saying Jobs is getting, you know, too good of a treatment, he's not a Thomas Edison. He's not a Henry Ford. He's and here's actually something from one direct response. His genius lies in business strategy and design. He could never program rather than in technological innovation. How do you respond to that?
Well, I'm not sure Henry Ford and Thomas Edison were Henry Fords and Thomas Edisons by that criteria. I mean, cars had been invented well before Henry Ford came along. And Edison comes up with DC electricity. It takes, you know, the lesser-known Nikola Tesla to make electricity work for us. That said, what Steve Jobs did, let's just take the iPod, your example, John. You know, there was somebody else in Japan had figured out a disc that could have enough memory and be the size of a quarter and hold the songs. Somebody else figured out a flat screen. Somebody else figured out, you know, the variety of components you needed for it. But Steve said, I want a track wheel, and I want it to get to every song within three clicks. I want it to be very simple, so I want you to take all the complexity out so that you don't need a manual. And that pure whiteness and that jewel-like feel, putting all those things together, to me, transformed the music industry as much as Henry Ford transformed the automobile industry or Edison did. I think putting together technology and art is the value added we have in our century, our era, and that's what Steve Jobs did far better than anybody else of his time.
Fusing the technology with the art. To do that, and this is also a theme of many of your media encounters on the book tour for your book, Steve Jobs, a Biography, Walter Isaacson, is that, there's been a lot of discussion, and you talk about it in the book, of Steve Jobs' reputation, his personality, his qualities of character, his obsessions, his treatment of others. Do you think those qualities were essential for him to get that simplicity executed, that he had to be that way, or is this something separate?
I don't think it was essential, but I also don't think it was something separate. His petulance, his roughness on people, his driven nature helped bend reality around him. And, you know, you say the iPod's exactly 10 years old this this day. Well, that's because in the middle of, you know, 2001, he suddenly had this idea and said, we can have it out by Christmas. And people said, no, you can't possibly get this thing done by Christmas. And he bent reality and did it. Could he have been kinder and gentler and sweeter in the process? Probably so. But when I asked him about that, he said, well, that's just not who I am. I'm a driven person, and that's the price of admission for being in the room with me. If you want to be part of that team creating the iPod, I want to have only A players on it, and we're going to be brutally honest with each other. I'm not sure that Henry Ford and Thomas Edison, or for that matter Albert Einstein, were ever the sweetest people to be around. I don't know if it's necessary to be that way to bend reality, but I do know it's a good tool that Steve used in his toolbox to bend reality.
Walter Isaacson is my guest, the author of Steve Jobs, a biography. All right, you have a particularly great perch for this question. What if Albert Einstein, Henry Kissinger, Steve Jobs, and Benjamin Franklin came over for dinner? Those are people you've all written about. Who would have the most fun? Who would want to poke your eyes out, perhaps, at the table? And who do you think would be the best conversationalist?
Well, Ben Franklin would be more fun and the better conversationalist. Because he was the only one of the, he was the one, you know, especially compared to Einstein and Steve Jobs, who actually was sort of friendly and loved pleasing people. In fact, the rap on him sometimes was he was too ingratiating, whether he was negotiating with the British or the French or you know, in the early days of the colonies, he would always try to smooth things over. Steve Jobs had the opposite personality. If there was a disagreement, he said, we're going to, you know, I'm going to let you know you're full of it, and you're going to let me know I'm full of it, and we're going to fight it out. You know, obviously, Einstein, you just sit back and watch the mind work. I mean, this was a guy in a different quantum orbit of genius from the rest of them. And with Steve Jobs, I mean, I loved sitting around that kitchen table of his in Palo Alto with his family. He had dinner with his family every night around that table and just watching the boom, boom, boom intuitive feel of his mind. I mean, this was not a logical processing mind the way a Bill Gates would have, but just intuitively he would come up with fun ideas.
Well, it would be a great dinner, certainly, to imagine, and you can imagine it probably better than all of us together. Walter Isaacson,
this
author
of... This is why one becomes a biographer. It's fun. It's fun to hang with these people.
Well, it's been fun hanging with you. It's the author of Steve Jobs, a biography. That's Walter Isaacson. Fire up your own MP3 player, iPod or not. Give us the song that starts your day. We're creating a playlist with your wake-up music for the iPod's 10th anniversary. Call 877-8-MY-TAKE. And join any of the conversations we're having on the program. A lot of you want to talk about Joe Paterno and the situation at Penn State. Joe Paterno fired last night, along with the head of the university. 877-8-MY-TAKE or post a comment at takeaway.org. I'm John Hockenberry. Celeste is out on assignment. This is The Takeaway.
A lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.